All right, here's the GM of the Atlanta Braves back in town competing against his former team, Alex Anthopoulos, back on the show. How you doing, Alex?
Doing great, guys. You?
We're doing well, man. We were just talking about, I guess the Jays did you a favor over the weekend, right? Sweeping the Nationals. Do you look at it that way? Do you root for whoever's playing against the NL East?
I was cheering hard. Paul Beeston called me and said, "He did you a favor." Gibby sent me a text, said, "You're welcome." Then after the second one, he texted, "You're welcome again." And you watch. I mean, I know it's June and it's still early, but you scoreboard watch. I mean, especially when you think you've got a competitive team, that's part of what makes it, you know, being in sports fun, right? You get to compete, and you don't scoreboard watch in April or maybe even May, but you get to June and it starts to get a little bit real.
So if you win the next couple of games, do you send that back to John Gibbons and say thank you for letting us beat you, or how does that work?
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a good point. You know what? You know, with something like this, because I obviously still have a ton of friends here, you know, I still tell my kids, I want you to, you know, you could cheer for the Jays in the AL and us in the NL, and then after us in the NL, you cheer for LA. So I think their heads are spinning a little bit, like they don't get it, that you can cheer for so many teams, but... obviously we want to win these games. They're important to us. They want to win for two games, you know, no matter what happens at the end of the day. But, I still want to see these guys do well. There's, you know, I love this place, and that's not going to change. Just for the two games, I don't want to see them do well.
Well, we were talking about the Rogers Center, and, you know, I'm born and raised in Toronto. I went to the Exhibition Stadium. I went to the X. You know, that was the first ballgame I ever went to. But for the most part, my whole life, it's been about the Dome and then the Rogers Center. And it's almost 30 years old. And now that you're no longer an employee of the Blue Jays, I'm seeking honesty here from you, Alex. How do you feel about this park? I mean, you got a new one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Rogers Center? I mean, give us the real take.
I'd be totally honest. And I just did a podcast today, and I was asked about what's it like having corporate ownership, and you know, I have it in Atlanta too, and I was honest, and I think any criticism, and again, people may jump down my throat for saying this, and you know, there's no reason for me to, you know, not be sincere in this. I like the park a lot. I think the location is great. Having a roof is huge. I'm living in Atlanta right now. Ballpark is amazing. The rain delays are tough. I mean, they happen from time to time. Tough on the fans. Now they're you know, they've been doing it for years. It's nice to have it up, but you have a retractable roof here. You know you're always going to get the game in. You're never going to have a delay. There's real value to that, and I just don't subscribe. I think again, it's downtown Toronto. It's in a great spot. There's a ton going on. I've been to a lot of ballparks around the game. Like I don't think there's anything wrong with this place. You know, can it be better? Sure, but they all can. But I don't know what there really is to complain about. You have a good team, and everyone's excited, and they're filling the place in the past, and they've obviously still have pretty good crowds now and turnout now. And I just don't subscribe to that's just me. The narrative, the ballpark, I never thought it was an issue. I mean, the only thing that came up from time to time was turf, but that kind of went away. And I remember talking to Josh Donaldson, you know, my last year here, about, you know, what? Tell me the same thing you're asking me. Tell me about Toronto. Tell me what it's like as a free agent. Tell me what it's like as some other player. What matters? What do guys care about? Is it having across the border? Is it the money? Is it this? Is it that? And he said, you know what? It has nothing to do with any of that type of stuff. It's just winning. Because you guys didn't win. Now you guys start winning, and I saw it. People wanted to come because it is a great city. It's a great place to play. I've never heard people complain about the park.
Well, you mentioned the turf, though. I mean, was that something? And were you actively seeking out grass? I mean, were you constantly?
Can they even put it in there?
Well, it's, I mean, the engineering.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was here, it was talked about. It was definitely above my pay grade. It's not something I was actively involved in. It wasn't my portfolio to deal with. My understanding it was going to be very expensive to do it. There was scenarios I was told. I don't know how accurate it is that, you know, you potentially could do it, but there's no, this place wasn't made for to have grass. There's no drainage. You'd have to, you know, do a ton of work there, certainly in terms of sunlight, things like that. So it would be a big expense to do it. You'd have to probably change out the grass quite a bit during the year. Again, these are all things that I heard at the time, but I was not involved. I was not front and center. So I'm definitely not the authority to talk about it. But again, the only thing we talked about was adding a dirt infield just for the look and everything else. But I got to tell you, the whole thought about the turf and all that, it kind of went away when we started playing better and we started winning. It didn't really matter. I mean, it didn't, it was a factor with guys like Troy Glaus and so on. But after a while, just people got accustomed to it and it's fine. And look, you'd love to have grass, but if it was too expensive and too much work and it wasn't going to make sense, it didn't stop us from doing what we wanted to do.
You said that was outside your pay grade, or you didn't do. I thought for being the general manager of the team, that would be right in your wheelhouse. You're trying to get players to come here. You want the grass on the field.
No doubt. But it's not, I guess, as a GM, it's the way we had it set up. The CEO is the one dealing with that stuff, so Paul would have been the point man on that. You can have an opinion and say, look, as a GM, I'd love to have grass for obvious reasons. Everybody would. But in terms of spending time with engineers, spending time with that side of the stadium operation side, you don't have time to do that. I mean, you have enough stuff to deal with the scouting, the player development, with the 25-man. You just can't have put that much time into your day to really sink in the time. And then know from a financial component the capital expenses, the yearly expenses, how all that balances out. So there's just too many things for you to really be involved. You can have an opinion, and it's easy to say, of course, as a GM, I'd like to have grass. Of course, as a GM, I'd like to have more money for payroll and so on. But to actually execute a plan and be able to get it done, that's not something that a GM is going to be involved with.
With Alex Anthopoulos, the GM of the Braves, Atlanta in town tonight down at the Rogers Center taking on the Jays. So your team, bit of a case study in terms of going through some tough years, but reloading with a lot of young talent. And it's really paying off this year. And I know you just jumped on this moving ship, but you guys are a young team, but a very successful team. Maybe the biggest surprise in baseball. You and the Phillies, quite frankly, and the Phillies are kind of in a similar spot, and they're chasing you guys in the NL East. But as a GM, I mean, does it keep you up at night, you know, relying on young guys and relying on guys that are bringing it that, you know, haven't been in this position before? I mean, what's this journey like having a team that might be punching above their weight class in terms of what the expectations were early in the season?
Sure. I think, you know what, there's no stress. I mean, you put pressure on yourself because you want to win and you want to compete. But I don't know if it's just more years doing this job, more experience. You just learn to not sweat the small stuff. And I feel like I've been through so many different fire drills in my time in baseball in various roles that you just, guys get hurt, turn the page. I remember when Stroman blew out his knee in spring training. I went for a drive, came back, turned the page. Let's go. We're not going to sulk about it. So I've kind of always been that way. I view it as a good thing that, you know, we're playing well. The city's really, really excited. The office, the organization's very excited. And, you know, long-term, we're in a really good spot. So I think what you stress about, I guess, if I was to say there's something, come July, after the All-Star break, if you're still right there, making a move. You know, I feel like, you know, you owe it to the players to do something. You owe it to the fan base to do something. I know that might sound a little corny, but it's true. I mean, there's people that live and die with this team. The players are grinding it out. I do think if they do that for 4 months and they put you in a position that you're right there and you're contending, you need to do your part and help out. Now, the tough part is you're trying to manage the long term and the short term, and that's where those 25 guys in the room could care less about a year from now or 2 years from now. They want to win now, as do we. But you always have to be aware of what you're going to be, how it's going to be impacting you going forward. So that's where it gets a little bit complicated, and that's probably the hardest part of being a GM. And look, those are great problems to have, and I hope we have those each year.
With Alex Anthopoulos, we'll get you out of here on a more of a philosophical question about this sport. We were talking about this in the previous hour.
And trade Freddie Freeman to the Jays.
Yeah, well, that would work. He did play for Canada.
I asked for him. Yeah, I did. I tried, and you know, his mom's, I don't know if she's Canadian, has Canadian roots, but I joke with him the other day. I'm like, hey, you're going home tomorrow. And he kind of stared at me like I was funny. I'm like, he's like, yeah, you know what? Well, yeah, your mom. But I love the fact that he played for the World Baseball Classic team. He definitely feels some type of tie and connection to this place. But no, he's been great. He's been great to have, and he's amazing to watch day in and day out.
Well, his numbers are off the charts. And what I was going to ask you about the shift in baseball, and he's a guy who has to deal with it all the time. And there seems to be a bigger push day in, day out for trying to eliminate the shift or placing rules into the game that wouldn't allow for it. And personally, I think that's a slippery slope. I mean, the way the game is played now, you're allowed to perform the shift. It obviously works based on the data. That's why we see it in baseball today. But it is changing the game in terms of the way it's played. There are not nearly as many balls in play as there used to be historically in baseball. Where do you stand on that? If Rob Manfred called you up and said, Alex, you have the final vote on this. You can eliminate the shift or leave it in the game. How would you vote?
Well, I'd say this. Like you said, it's philosophical, and I'd say it's a little political. If Rob Manfred says, I'd like to do this, what do you think? I'd say, yes, sir, whatever you want. I'm on board. I totally agree, for one. But I guess I would say the following. I agree with you that any rule changes, there's going to be some type of trade-off. And I obviously haven't studied it enough. There's no doubt defensive positioning, because everyone's doing it now, has absolutely changed the game. Look, I could say we do it as a front office. I would think almost every front office does. I look at ground ball percentage for a lot of these guys. They hit a lot of balls on the ground. It's concerning. I mean, we can certainly put our infielders in the right place, and you're trying to project on power, and a guy has a high ground ball percentage. Unless you're going to bring a guy in and make swing changes and so on, that's going to ultimately impact our evaluation of what the player might be. So Freddie Freeman, for example, he hits the ball in the air a lot, and a lot of guys are doing that. That does lead to swing and miss. That does lead to have guys pitch up in the zone a little bit more, which you can get more swing and miss there. So, you know, I like the challenge, I guess. I like using the data, using the information, trying to find competitive advantages in all the data. I like the freedom. I also understand having more activity, more action, balls in play. I see the argument to both sides, and that's not trying to be vague or be, you know, from a political standpoint. I guess my attitude is I don't have time to really worry about it and think too much about it. I figure whatever rules they want to put in place, we're still going to work to try to find some type of advantage.
Well, good luck tonight back at the Rogers Center, and your team has been on a great ride so far. So best of luck in the future, and I'm sure we'll catch up down the road. Thank you, Alex.
All right, guys. Thanks for the time.
There's Alex Anthopoulos, GM of the Atlanta Braves.